So they were building this new cart for the ark. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel play music. I mean, they had the right worship. Just like just now, they had the right shout. Now they had the right worship. They play music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, made of fir wood, on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzziah, and God struck him for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. This is the second handling of the ark of God in the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. So here they have the ark. As the ark was coming forth, David had a right heart. They had the right praise and worship. Everything was correct. But they had the wrong method. Later on in the book of Chronicles, David realized when he did it a second time, he says, we did it wrongly. The Levite should carry it, not the oxen. God has his method. So Ahio and Uzziah were helping this oxen. Remember, Abinadab's house was on a hill. When it goes downhill, it's not smooth going. In those days, they don't have very nice highways. Ahio was in front. Ahio said, everything is okay here. How are you, Uzziah? All right here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David dancing in front. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This looks like a Pentecostal group. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Suddenly, the oxen stumbled on a stone. The ark of God nearly fell out. Uzziah, with his good heart, don't want the ark of God to drop down. Who wants? Put his hand out, thinking he's helping God. Touch the ark and died. Boom. I tell you, David was dancing. He go, hey. For a few seconds, he was stuck. And Ahio's mouth looked open like Ayo. I don't know what Uzziah's last words were. His last words, if he were an Asian and they were holding this up, you know, and it was about to stumble, he said, Ayo, Ayo, ah! And that it. Poor Uzziah. Right heart, right praise, wrong method. And he died. But the next time round, they got everything right. David got the right heart. They got the right method. The Levites sanctified themselves. And then, they had the right praise and worship. And everything went smoothly. God's blessing. So remember, Christianity has to do with rightness. Rightness of many areas. Rightness of heart. Rightness of methods. Rightness of our demonstration of our faith. There's a rightness to all things, a time and season for all things. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 6, realize that David, in his third anointing, was building an army of priests. Look over at the book of, let's look at the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles 13. See, 1 Chronicles 12 talks about David's army. 1 Chronicles 13 tells you that David in verse 11 at first didn't understand God. But then in chapter 15, in verse 2, David said, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before Him forever. So David amended his mistakes as we understand it here. Then we go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 14. Verse 14 tells us something that David did. And according to the order of David, his father, he appointed the divisions of the priests for their service, the Levites for their duties to praise and serve before the priests as the duty of each day required, and the gatekeepers by the division at each gate, for so David, the man of God, had commanded. See, David had even prepared the order for the Levites. Look over at the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles again. And after he talks about all this army of people whom he has built, notice here that in 1 Chronicles, and we look at chapter 16, verse 37, so he left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister before the Ark regularly as every day's work required. Now this 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 37, it talks about David, how in his bringing in the tabernacle of David and the Ark of Covenant, he built an army of priests. So David, in his first anointing, three anointings of David, he was tuned to be whatever God called him to be on the inside. In his second anointing, he began to build the army of people who would help him govern the nation. In his third anointing, he built the priesthood. He built them up in his position. He helped to establish the priesthood again. And God blessed him. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ did all three things. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He first came, that anointing in His life sent Him into the wilderness to be tested and tried, to be the sacrifice for us. But do you notice that the two promises or the two positions that we are classified as believers cover the second and the third anointing? Look at the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 6. Verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and a ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings. Say, He has made us kings. Say, He has made us kings. He has made us priests. Now, Jesus has made us kings and priests. Now, David, in his second anointing, sought to make these people who were his soldiers and his commanders, having that ability like him, where God trains his hand for war as a king, to conquer and to establish Israel in his time. And then, in his third anointing, he concentrated on the ark and the building of the priests to offer unto God worship. Do you notice how wonderful it is? The first anointing is for yourself. The second anointing is for the world. The third anointing is for God. To bring it back to God. And that closes the picture. See, when God calls you, God anoints you. David was anointed a king three times. Anointed once by Samuel, anointed second time by the people of Judah, anointed a third time by the 10 tribes of Israel. Three times anointed for the same office. What for? Because there's a teaching involved. When God calls you, He will anoint you the first time for yourself, that everything within you will be tuned under God's office in your life. Then He will anoint you the second time and send you forth into the world. Then He will anoint you a third time. A third time. Because any work of God from Him, in Him, goes to Him. David brought the priesthood to offer praises back unto God. And Jesus Christ in His ministry, in His first part of His ministry, He went through the temptations. Very short, 40 days. But for many people, it would take more than 40 days. To conquer those things Jesus conquered in 40 days. Why? Because a lot of people has delays. Jesus, for 40 days and 40 nights, was tempted with every temptation known to humankind. After that, He was still tempted, but there was nothing now, because He already conquered at the wilderness. And a lot of people are failing in those things Jesus succeeded in the wilderness. So for them, there's a reputation. For some people, those 40 days end up like 40 years. Some never got out of it. They are in the wilderness all their life. Never got out of it. But Jesus moved out. His first anointing, He came forth. You see, there were in Jesus, you cannot see three anointings, but you see three flows. You see, the first flow after He was anointed, He went into the wilderness. Then it tells you, He waited after He finished the wilderness period until John the Baptist was kept in prison. Then He launched out into Galilee, and the Bible tells you in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, that Jesus came to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when He opened the book, He turned to Luke, and He turned the book to the book, the Bible that they had, to Isaiah 61, and it's mentioned in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, that He opened the book, and He said, "The Lord has anointed me." See, there was a second flow in His life. We are talking about Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. There was a second flow when He said, "The Lord has anointed me." He had came out from the wilderness experience. You could tell whether a man of God has been through that wilderness. Whether they have been tested, tried, or are they greenhorns. Why the greenhorns are slightly rough, like the durian. Very hard to eat their fruit. Thorny. You get hurt. Rough edges. But today it's so modernized. I don't know about your supermarkets here, but you know, they have it all open nicely, right in plastic bag there. No more thorn. Durian without thorns. That is packaging too. Where your polish, and now is the durian without the thorns, like in the Garden of Eden. Say, "Brother, don't tell me there's a durian in the Garden of Eden." Oh, there was, probably. Every fruit that we have, there was. It may not have its smell though. We'll find out when we get over there. And so, the second packaging has no more thorns. People could just partake that fruit out of your life. But wait, there is a finale. There is a finale, like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Always coming out. If you hear Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, always coming up. You know, you always say, very soft. Then other sounds come. Boom, 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 boom. No, that symbolizes all the trials of life. It's an ode to joy. All the trials of life try to drown that joy. All kinds of things. Then everyone says, "Well, you hear it very softly." And then here you can't get boom, bam, all gone. But when you hear the finale of the symphony, every instrument was shouting joy. Bam, 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 bam. I tell you, whew, that joy was feeling coming out of your ears. Something like that. That's there all the time. By the time you reach that finale, you're bringing the fruit of your ministry to God. What does that mean? See, a lot of ministers don't realize that the main investment in your life is people.